Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1 with Allcare Pharmacy. Discover a healthcare team that's always here for you at Allcare Pharmacy, Ireland's largest community pharmacy network.
Good morning and welcome to the programme. Today, Minister for Justice Helen McEntee will be here on the changes she plans around the rules of consent. Wholesale energy prices are coming down, but will the bills follow? Muireann Lynch from the ESRI gives us her take. It's the 12th of July today, but what does the 12th mean in 2023? We will find out. Cathy Donaghy tells us how to appreciate wildflowers in our everyday lives, and Harry Barry and Anne-Marie Craven discuss how infertility impacts mental health. You can text us this morning 51551 or send us an email todaycb@rte.ie. Now, the dust is settling on the appearance of Ryan Tubridy and his agent Noel Kelly before those two Oireachtas committees yesterday, but questions remain about whether the ongoing scandal has bottomed out. So fresh evidence was provided to politicians which challenged RTE's claims that the former Director General Dee Forbes had done a solo run by agreeing to underwrite that $75,000 a year deal involving RTE, Ryan Tubridy and Renault. In a few moments, I'll speak to Dr. Roddy Flynn from the School of Communications at DCU, who's here in the studio with me. Elaine Loughlin is on the line, political editor with the Irish Examiner, and we'll discuss the questions that remain after what we heard yesterday. But first, our reporter Brian O'Connell asked people ahead of the committee yesterday what they wanted to hear from Ryan Tubridy and Noel Kelly. And then he went back out into Cork City Centre last night to see what they thought after that hearing.
I think Ryan is kind of in the right, and I kind of think it's RTE's fault, to be honest with you.
So what you heard today, did it change your opinion in any way?
Completely changed my opinion on Ryan, 100%. I think he came across confident, but I think he was getting... It was kind of that the cameras were all over him.
So after today now, do you feel he should be back on radio or TV?
I think he should, yeah, definitely, 100%. 100%. RTE have a lot of questions to answer for anyway.
Yeah, he said one thing today, that he's had an awful 3 weeks or whatever, and that's grand for him to say, but if you were paid, say, the difference of his salary, you're in a different position. If you have to pay rent, he obviously might not have to, which is a privilege in that, and when you're in the other side of it, it is more difficult. So
does it change your opinion of him?
I would say more of RTE, to be honest. Realistically, like, his salary is being controlled by someone else. It's not his control, so it shouldn't really be completely penalised on him solely.
I'm just asking people about the Ryan Tubridy today at the Oireachtas Committee. Oh, what did you think of him? Did it change your opinion?
My opinion was that he was always overpaid anyway.
I thought he sounded very self-serving, self-pitying.
Do you feel that's it now, that he doesn't have any more questions to answer, or his agent, Noel Kelly?
I think there's definitely different stories being told between the RTE people that were interviewed last week and what the two boys said today.
And Noel Kelly was saying today, look, he was just following instructions.
Is that the way he normally operates, you know? Doing what he's told by RTE or by whomever is paying his clients.
So RTE now are back before the committee on Thursday.
Yeah, I think they have an awful lot of questions to answer.
Is Ryan Tubridy closer to being back on radio or TV after today?
Not in my opinion.
I don't think so, no.
All right, people in Cork speaking to Brian O'Connell last night. As I said, Elaine Loughlin is on the line. Are we any further along on this now after those hearings yesterday, Elaine? We've heard from the two main protagonists in the ongoing debacle. So where are we this morning?
Yes, well, as you said at the top of the show, Claire, there are certainly more questions for RTE as a result of the contribution both by Ryan Tubridy and his agent Noel Kelly yesterday. And I think the biggest bombshell to land came not during the committee but directly before it, when those tranche of documents were provided to the Public Accounts Committee, one of which seemed to be in direct conflict to the evidence or the certainly the descriptions provided by key members in RTE last week, and that especially around the fact of who knew what, who signed off on the underwriting of this agreement. agreement. And we'd heard last week from the former CFO, Breed O'Keefe, that when she left the company, left the National Broadcaster in March 2020, it was her strong view and the view of then Director General and other key members within RTÉ that they would not be underwriting this and they were not in favour of it. And it now transpires that there certainly appears to be an email thread which Breed O'Keefe was involved in, which did actually sign off on and agreed to this underwriting. So I think that's what politicians will be going after when members of RTÉ, including the new Director General, Kevin Backhurst, come before them again on Thursday.
Mm-hmm. And we heard, didn't we, Breed O'Keefe said last night to the Public Accounts Committee that she won't be at that hearing tomorrow. She was invited.
She was invited, but she's, again, she's a former chief financial officer. She's no longer with the broadcaster. And I think she was very much welcomed last week when she came before them to give what was an extensive account of her recollection of what happened when she was in RTÉ.
Okay, let's take a listen to one interaction. This is between Ryan Tubridy and the independent Louth TD, Peter Fitzpatrick. Here's the full exchange.
Do you realise that the people are looking up to you and they really, really feel let down by you? I don't know all these people are rubbing their shoulders and rubbing their hands, because I tell you one thing, if you came to County Louth, it would be the opposite. On the 3rd of March, you shut down talks of you leaving the Late Late Show, you had a cushy number, you were well liked, nobody would give you a wimp. A week later, questions started to be asked and your retirement announcement came merely 9 days later. You repeatedly stated this morning to the committee that you were leaving the Late Late Show had nothing to do with this. As you put it, the Corbyn fiasco. You stated this time in a simply coincidence. You stated that in your statement that you first became aware of the Grand Thornton Review in May. Is this true?
Deputy.
I'm only asking a question.
And I'm only answering.
Yes.
Let me tell you.
Just answer the question, please.
Yeah. Your dismissal of the good people of Ireland who have the courtesy and the kindness to approach me on the street is not something I appreciate on their behalf.
They approach me too.
Deputy, secondly, I wish I'd brought them with me in some ways. The countless cards and letters I've received from people around the country, speaking words of kindness and indeed wisdom, and I wouldn't like to dismiss their decency either. Thirdly, no.
If you had been made aware, would you have stayed in your position until the end of your term? Or would you have resigned if you'd known?
It is a hypothetical that is unbecoming of the committee. No, but I would also say, I get the sense that you choose not to believe my reason for leaving the election.
I'm only asking questions.
And
I'm asking my people.
I'm deputy.
Yep.
Please, I'm only answering your question.
Well, you're not answering.
I've answered you quite clearly. That's the word no. And equally, with my answer to you regarding the Late Late Show, if you choose not to believe me, I think that's a terrible pity, because
I'm only asking questions.
You live with a lack of truth then.
Right, if RTÉ were overstating the amount of money that we're paying you...
I can't hear you.
If RTÉ were overstating the amount of money that we're paying you, where's the balance in the money? In the public service, any recipient, or due to recipient, of overpayment is obliged to return that overpayment. Would you be willing to return this overpayment to the public funds? This is taxpayers' money. Your audience...
Yes.
So would you be willing to return the repayment, the overpayments to the public funds?
You need to refer to the document, Deputy,
please answer the question.
I will, yeah. There have been no overpayments or of any sort. That's it. There were overstatement of payments by RTÉ because of their unfortunate accountancy errors.
Now, the reason we play that in full, Elaine, was because it encapsulates everything. I mean, it has anger, it has emotion, it has frustration. And I suppose it displays really what the entire day was like, doesn't it?
Yes, and wasn't perhaps what we usually hear from a public accounts committee or indeed any other Oireachtas committee. Even from the get-go, I think Ryan Tubridy was at times slightly emotional, and certainly his opening statements, you could say, at stages came from the heart. And I think it was interesting, after speaking to some of the members of the Public Accounts Committee, they noted that perhaps Ryan Tubridy had a different audience in mind when he came before those two Oireachtas committees yesterday. It wasn't the politicians who were saying that they're trying to get to the bottom of this scandal as to what went on and how these payments were made, and not reporters either, but the general public who were tuned in their sitting rooms and in pubs across the country. And you could see that even in that short clip that you played there. He did mention a number of times those who've contacted him, who've posted letters to him, and as well even thanked one politician at one stage after he mentioned that his partner listens to the radio programme every morning. So Ryan Tuberty is in their home 5 days a week. So I think that was clear to be seen that it wasn't the politicians, perhaps, that were his target audience yesterday.
Okay, let's have a listen to another interaction that Ryan Tuberty had. This was with the Fianna Fáil TD, Shane Castles, and he pressed Ryan Tuberty about his salary negotiations.
And I'm asking in terms of why was it necessary for the add-ons, regardless of the basic pay, was €440,000 not enough?
You've already explained that.
No, I'm asking Mr. Tuberty directly, and I'm entitled to ask the man himself who is being paid
to use your own analogy. Would a footballer expect a decent fee for playing for his club? And would the footballer have his agent negotiate a decent fee to play for his club? And somebody who was a sports journalist, as you've claimed, and I presume it's true, that has to be taken into consideration. So with that in mind, this man negotiates my salary situation, my contract situation. He is, as he said before, he minds my business, and he minds me too. He's a good person.
He has struck a good deal. But what I'm trying to say.
So you know, you talk about our narrative, their narrative. Yeah. This is not our story. This is our truth.
In 30 seconds, Senator Castles, to wrap up. In 30 seconds.
Quite frankly, now, I mean, it is a narrative because it is putting forward one scenario, and I'm putting contention to you that there was a stalling in the contract. This was the sweetener to make sure that this contract was signed, and it got it over the deal.
So, Elaine, what did you make of that?
Yeah, well, I think maybe making the comparison to footballers when you're talking about Premier Leagues was maybe slightly unfortunate by both Shane Castles and Ryan Tuberty, because I think, especially in RT, there is a growing frustration now around perhaps disparity between the top earners, the top 10 that we see published on an annual basis, and then the, I don't want to call them regular workers, but those on far less of a salary who produce shows, who work behind the scenes, and who support what has been described up until now as the talent. But as well in that clip we heard there, I think it also speaks to the narrative that both Ryan Tuberty and Mr. Kelly were trying to get across yesterday, the fact that Mr. Kelly was controlling any deals that were being done around Mr. Tuberty's pay, and that Mr. Tuberty wasn't the money man. He made that clear, or he certainly alluded to that at numerous points during the committee hearings yesterday. He said his skills lie behind the mic or in front of the camera, and that's why he sought the expertise of his agent, Mr. Kelly, to really go into the room and hammer out the financial deals with RT executives.
Okay, Elaine, stay with us because I want to come to Roddy Flynn, Dr. Roddy Flynn, who's listening to all of that. And you were listening yesterday to the two sessions in their entirety. Yeah. So what did you come away with?
Well, I suppose the day before that I was talking to people and thinking, is there any way back for Ryan Tuberty from this? And the answer was sort of 90-10 against. And I think it's probably still unlikely, but it's more like 60-40, 70-30. I think he did himself some good. I think the most powerful part of it was the initial statement, those seven untruths, which was very strong. And it's that sense of, it's something that hadn't occurred to me, come out fighting, okay. I think it unraveled a little bit as the day went on, for a variety of reasons. Part of it is the simple, you know, it wasn't us defence. Everything lies in RTE. And some of it, whilst I suppose as a human being, I can kind of understand this might happen. Some of it just seems kind of sloppy, basically, on behalf of Actually, almost everyone concerned, the negotiators of the deal, and you really do step back at it and go, can this really be how it's done? And to put this in context, so I do research that's funded by the European Commission. It's worth far less than Ryan Tubridy's guy. It's worth 20K. For that, I would have to fill out or to sign a 46-page contract, typically, which specifies every conceivable aspect of what the contract expects me to do, when I'm going to do it, what happens if I don't fulfil the contract, etc., etc. By the time we got to, you know, acknowledgements that 3 years after the initial deal had theoretically been done, it had still not been signed by all the parties, and that even Noel Kelly hadn't signed it until April 2023, you began to wonder, okay, what is this? This is an odd way of doing business. Maybe it is the way the business is done, but it seemed, given that, I suppose.
So you're saying slipshod on both sides.
Slipshod on both sides, but also given the extent to which the Kelly Tubridy defence was based on, we have the documents that RTE executives apparently hadn't been able to lay their hands on in the previous couple of weeks. A lot of it was basically, we have a paper trail, right? But in some cases, that paper trail actually just doesn't exist for anyone because that contract still hasn't been signed by RTE. And so it's kind of messy. But yeah, I mean,
Going back to you were saying the very start, and Elaine said this as well, the explosive bit came in those statements when they said, look, we have a document here that shows that RTE had agreed, more people beyond E Forbes had agreed to this side deal, the tripartite deal. And RTE came back before the committee had started yesterday and rejected that and said that that email did not form a contract or RTE's final position. It was part of negotiations. And I suppose that points to, what are we going to hear tomorrow?
Yeah, and I think the devil is sort of in the details here, isn't it? Because we haven't read that email, and I suspect that the very specific phrasing of what's in that is really, really important. It is possible that that email can be read, depending on your perspective, in ways that suit both the RTE narrative as it's been expressed in the last 3 weeks.
Well, we saw a lot of it, didn't we? It was produced in documents yesterday.
I haven't read it, I wasn't read into the record as we were kind of going through it. So I would love to sort of had the opportunity properly and to have gone through the phrasing of it. But I think also, I mean, some things that certainly worked for Tubridy were the fact that it appears that of the famous 345,000 overpayment, it appears fairly definitive that the first 120,000 of this, the money paid before 2020, simply was not paid. Now, that does change the narrative, absolutely. And one of the things that struck me about kind of RTE's coming back immediately before the committee even started was there was also an opportunity for them to fess up, I suppose, and say, look, we may have made a mistake here. Now, I also know that they are going in front of the Public Accounts Committee and they'll have an opportunity to do this. But it sort of seemed like, despite the new leadership, you know, we had Kevin Backhurst, you know, unveiled on Monday. There's been a decision to maintain a kind of adversarial relationship between all parties, which in terms of making this go away in the longer term, it doesn't feel like what's going to keep the story going? Drama. What creates drama? Conflict, right? The sense of kind of looking for some kind of resolution or accommodation between the two parties you don't get a strong sense that this is occurring.
Both sides are entitled to mount defences. I mean, what you're saying, you're saying in order to take the heat out of it, you might want to step back. But it's difficult to do that when you're being accused of something.
Absolutely. No, I fully accept that. But I'm just kind of, this is why this story is rumbling on, because it's like watching Succession. Each week has got a new, you know, kind of part to the narrative. It does keep on going. Mm-hmm. And it may well be that RTE come back on Thursday and say, like, it's interesting to listen to kind of the Vox Pop there and people saying, based on what I've heard, I now think Ryan Tubridy should come back. But that's based on a straightforward acceptance that everything that was heard yesterday is in fact accurate. It may well be that there is another act to come where RTE go, no, that's actually not the case either.
So just on the Public Accounts Committee itself, it is traditionally meant to be a non-partisan body, apolitical. Mm. The members who are on it, they tend to leave their colours at the door, their politics at the door. Has there been a change there in your view from what you heard yesterday?
I think people would have, I mean, I've been in front of parliamentary committees, but I think people would have been a little bit dismayed, actually, at the manner in which the committee does its business. It, to my mind, at least, it lacked the kind of forensic, incisive approach that I've seen in previous committees, I mean, going back, you know, kind of 10 years. I think one of the most startling things actually was the extent to which there hadn't been any kind of collaboration between the various members. So it seemed like 10 people came in with their own set of questions. There was no kind of agreement of, I'll go to this space, you go to this space. So we had the same questions being asked over and over again, which incidentally I think played to the communication strategy actually of Noel Kelly, which was basically just to be able to say it wasn't us, it was RTE. He was given ample opportunity to say that over and over again because he was asked the same question over and over again. And there was a sort of sense of I was going to say myopia, but amnesia a little bit about what has been discussed. It was as if some of the details of what has come out from the RTE executive in the previous 3 weeks had literally been forgotten. And the other thing was that some of the questioning, if it was me, I would think I would have found it difficult to answer them in a kind of a clear way, because the questions were not framed in a way that invited a clear answer. And you had those moments where both Troubridy and Kelly were challenged for not answering the question. When I was looking, I was thinking, I think they are answering the question as they've understood it. And the way the question has been framed this isn't always the case, but at times it just wasn't clearly expressed. And I was struggling at times. I still have one actually outstanding question about why, if Troubridy now understands that the money came from RTE, he feels he has any obligation to Renault to do these six events. That seems like an extraordinarily obvious question to have been asked. Mm-hmm. I don't remember hearing that question yesterday.
OK, I want to come back to Elaine, because there's another committee hearing today talking about the future of sports broadcasting in Ireland, and the GAA is expected to defend the need for GAA Go, Elaine. This is the streaming service. And people talking about difficulties accessing it, about the cost of it and so on. But the GAA, we're expected to hear from them that having every championship match live on television is just not realistic.
Yeah, and while RTE will be given a reprieve from a grilling on the RTE saga relating to Ryan Tuberty, the national broadcaster will be before another Oireachtas committee, as you said today, on the area of GAA Go. And I think this was a controversy that erupted earlier on when GAA fans tried to, you know, watch their matches on television, only to find that they had to go to this new GAA Go online platform if they wanted to see various matches. And of course, that means that matches are behind a paywall. So we will have this afternoon two sessions, essentially. The first will be from the sporting bodies, GAA, the FAI, the IRFU, Sport Ireland and the Federation of Irish Sport will be before the committee. And then it will hear from the broadcasting side. So as I said, RTE, TG Cahir, Virgin, Sky and independent broadcasters of Ireland.
Okay, Elaine, thank you very much. Elaine Loughlin from the Irish Examiner and Dr. Roddy Flynn, thank you both. We'll be speaking to Minister for Justice Helen McEntee after this.
Text 51551 today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.